Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lam, and on today's show, we have Seichi Nagai. He's a founder and CEO of a company called Civic Nexus, and the application enables nonprofits and public sector with the ability for smart policy tracking. And Seichi, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks, Bert. Good to be here.
Yeah, and Seichi, you know, you've been around the tech sector for a little while, and I want to give you a chance to, you know, share some of the kind of like previous experience you've had prior to, you know, the launch of Civic Nexus. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the kind of like companies that you had worked for prior to, you know, Civic Nexus.
Okay. So my first job was as a lifeguard.
Oh, well, I don't want to go back that far, you know.
Yeah.
But I know, you know.
I had a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just joking. The main role I had after college in tech was at Shifted Energy.
Uh-huh.
And so I joined as an intern. So I was living in California at the time. And I heard about an internship through HTDC that was sponsoring me to work for Shifted Energy for a year. So I applied for that. And then I ended up moving here. And we were working out of the Manoa Innovation Center at the time.
Oh.
And we had a tiny little office with a game machine in the corner. And it was no windows. It was really small. And we eventually moved to the sandbox where we had a slightly larger office. I started off by building out. So what Shifted does is essentially manages the load, the electric load of using water heaters in every home. And if you have 1,000 of these or a couple of thousands of these on a grid, you can manage the supply and demand of electricity on the grid. And given Hawaii's 2045 mandate of 100% renewables, we're relying on things like wind and solar, geothermal, et cetera. But there's a lot of energy that's lost due to a lack of management. So if we just start managing certain appliances in our homes, the grid becomes more efficient and more stable. And so the first task in my internship was to build the dispatch system for a couple thousand of these devices. And these were being deployed in a Eco grid service contract.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, you know, Shifted Energy, we've had them on, this is quite a while back. I'm probably needing to get them back on again. But, you know, Forrest Frizzell and Olin Lagan, and they were one of the companies that came out of, at the time, was like Energy Accelerator. They you know, they moved, they kind of rebranded to Elemental Impact now, but they were one of the companies that were recognized early on as a startup that had some real potential. And to their credit, they've been around, and they're actually growing quite a bit, right? I mean, even having clients on the continent.
Yeah, yeah. Several utility clients from around the world, including Canada, United States, several different states, East Coast, West Coast. Yeah, they're scaling up, and you know, there are two strong founders, there's Forrest and Olin, like you mentioned, and Olin's built globally scaled tech. He worked on the first crowdfunding website or platform that existed, and he came up with the idea. And he has this. He often says that innovation is a combination of two disparate things, two very different things. And so for crowdfunding, it was this, I don't want to butcher the story, but essentially there was a woman that needed medical care and she couldn't afford it. And a buddy of his told him, right, he started building this product of crowdfunding. He combined community giving with internet payments. Those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And a buddy of his heard of this story and was like, "What? Why don't you apply it to this situation?" And a news channel on the East Coast picked it up, and they ended up fully funding her hospital bills. And his company, I think, had $100 million in donations passed through it. And so,
wow.
You know, that's... Yeah.
So yeah.
That's,
yeah.
You know, no. One of the founders of Shifted.
Yeah. No, Olin's probably got a wealth of stories to tell. And I think that's a good suggestion for maybe to have him back on. And we can kind of catch up on all of that. But you spent how many years over at Shifted?
I was there for 6.5 years.
That's a good stretch of time. Now, at that point in time, there was probably a decision on your part to decide to move into this more independent application development mode. So what was it that kind of made that shift for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I'm a tinkerer,
mm-hmm.
and before it was with AI, it was with music. So I was, I learned to produce, and, you know, I started writing songs in high school, and I, you know, put a couple of songs out, and I was playing shows here and there. I ended up playing Seattle's Capitol Hill Block Party a couple of times, and then after that, I started to really, when AI started coming out, it caught my attention immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Before a lot of people heard about it, and I'm talking AI as in generative AI.
Mm-hmm.
ChatGPT and such.
Mm-hmm.
And working at a startup, I had always, I guess, dreamed, you know, or I always saw myself doing that, starting something.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to one of my mentors, and she told me, I told her, you know, how do I become a founder? And she says, don't become a founder. Like, you just are or you aren't a founder. And so that kind
right.
of made me realize, you know, I just got to start doing something.
Right.
And making a product or selling something, you know. And so I was lucky enough to be able to exchange ideas with Ola. And we're kind of often talking about interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd share some of my interesting things and ideas with him. And and then in, let's see, yeah, so a couple of years ago when we started hearing about generative AI and chatbots and the effect that it could have on coding teams,
mm-hmm.
I was the VP of engineering at Shifted, and I was reading about these teams, like, you know, 10xing their output,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, like, that's absurd. But we started using it, and we would get compliments from customers, these big utility customers, telling us how impressed they were with the system we built, despite having such a small team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think part of that is thanks to having a skilled team and a good work culture. But the other part of it is that we started leveraging AI.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, you know, so that's a good point to kind of ask you the question, you know, what is it that you started to think about to become a founder for, like, you know, Nexus, Civic Nexus? And how did AI kind of play a role in that? So what we want to do is we want to hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Seichi Nagai. He's the founder and CEO of Civic Nexus. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Seichi Nagai. He's a founder and CEO of Civic Nexus, and that's an application that enables nonprofits and public sector with smarter policy tracking. And of course, right before the break, I was asking Seichi, you know, what is it that he wanted to do, you know, and I think Seichi, your answer was you wanted to be a founder. So you decided that you wanted to go independent. What is it that you wanted? What problem did you want to solve with Civic Nexus? And I definitely want to ask you, how did AI play a role in that?
Yeah, okay. So I see, the way I currently see AI is that it's a giant wave rolling in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, it's too big to stop and you can't dive under it. So you got to start paddling. And if you wait, it's going to break right on top of you. And I see this, you know, I feel concerned that we're not yet paddling here in Hawaii. And mm-hmm. I'm concerned that we don't even see the wave coming. And so when I started getting really close to AI and working using it in Shifted, I was approached by like a civic champion here in Honolulu to build a tool that scrapes the county, Maui County Council website
mm-hmm.
and generates a newsletter tailored to them and their members. So I built it in 2 days by vibe coding it out, and we would send it every week. And by doing that, I started to see how, one, these different nonprofits are struggling with overwhelming amount of work and a very archaic process to following policy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those were the two things that I kind of just combined in one. And this was right around the time, you know, when there were all the federal budget cuts. And Shifted Energy has always been at least the founders have always been very involved in nonprofits and the civic sector. And so it's always been something I was aware of. And I found a stat that said, due to the budget cuts, the federal cuts this year, emergency relief in hospitals around the world are closing and cases of tuberculosis and malaria are shooting up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to result in 900,000 preventable deaths this year. It was mind blowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was talking to these nonprofits and they're closing, they're having to lay people off. They're having to shut down their work. And the work that nonprofits do is the humanitarian work. It's like the work that we need,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's the work that makes people's lives livable. And the fact that they're underwater is hard to see. And so I started working with a few nonprofits locally and on the mainland with using AI for grant discovery and grant writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a free guide, actually, it's on the Civic Nexus website. If you're interested, you can check it out.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so... So when you started when you're talking to the nonprofits, and typically, you know, prior to the AI capability, nonprofits would probably go to either the, you know, the Maui County website, look at the bills or the ordinances that are being proposed, print them up and read them and try to figure out, you know, how they want to respond. And likewise, you know, with the legislation that goes through the Capitol, you know, you'd go to capitol.hawaii.gov and you'd probably do a scan for everything that might have, you know, the key words that you're searching for. And those bills would come up. Let's say you're looking for tech and all the tech bills would come up and you'd probably, you know, copy them, store them, print them, read them, and try to understand what to do with them. Now, this is the pre-AI world. So now with generative AI, you can kind of like load them into an application like ChatGPT and have it kind of automatically summarize a lot of this for you. Is that kind of what sparked your interest in helping to bring these kinds of tool sets to the nonprofits?
Yeah, you know, that's exactly it. I actually, I was using ChatGPT to pull research and write testimony for nonprofits just to figure out how it could help and the power that it had and what it could do. And so, and then I, after doing that enough times, I realized I could, you know, turn this into a platform. And so what Civic Nexus does is it pulls, it scrapes bills from the state website every 30 minutes. And it looks at your organization or the one of the topics that you're tracking, and it ranks every single bill it by relevance to that organization. And so, you know, before you had, there are keywords on the state website, and the state's done a phenomenal job of building a digital tracking system. Before that, you had to go to the Capitol and pick up these packets of bills and bring them home and read, stick them in a binder and, you know, hole punch them and everything.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah, I can't imagine what that was like. But the some of the issues are that, you know, you can search by keyword, and that'll still return 600 bills. There were 4,000 bills introduced in 2025, by the way. And so if you're searching by a keyword, you're still going to get like 500, 600, 1,000 bills.
That's right. Right.
That you have to read through and then decide which ones that you should start tracking. And so what our algorithm does is it ranks all of them for you. So you don't have to read 600 bills. You know which ones to follow right away. And so it's sort of, we're looking to build this intelligent assistant, if you will, that helps you track bills to essentially, this is going to sound scary, but eliminate the work associated with bill tracking. But what that gives you is more human time, because from what I've been learning, politics is about relationships, of course, and the in-person advocacy time is really what moves the needle. And spending time, I mean, that's how it started. A bunch of guys in a room, talking about, governance, you know, and what we can do is help bring back some of that humanity, by taking away some of this digital, tracking experience, this logistical piece to it.
Right. Now, Seichi, I want to ask you a little bit about, you know, how do you manage the engine? And I'm assuming it's something like a ChatGPT. And how do you make sure that it doesn't, let's say, hallucinate with all the stuff that you might be loading into it? And there might be a pretty straightforward answer to that, but we want to kind of hold that thought. We want to kind of, you know, be right back after this short little break and continue our conversation with Seichi Nagai, founder and CEO of Civic Nexus. This is Bite Marks Cafe. Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Seichi Nagai, founder and CEO of Civic Nexus, an application that enables nonprofits and public sector with smarter policy tracking. And right before the break, Seichi, you were describing, you know, the sort of like the engine that's kind of running behind Civic Nexus. And it might correct in kind of assuming that, you know, you're actually designing it in such a way that it's focusing in on the material that is being put out by, you know, capital.hawaii.gov. So it's less likely to hallucinate because it has a fixed kind of a resource to draw from, as opposed to like drawing from, you know, the billions and billions and billions of documents that are out there on the web that might cause, you know, a chatbot to kind of start to kind of hallucinate given the kind of prompts that it might get. Is that kind of what the back engine is doing, is just looking at those particular documents and drawing upon those?
Yeah, for the LLM services that we're using, that's exactly what it's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're using some other things like embeddings directly to be able to understand the way that different things like a bill or an organization or maybe a legislator relate to each other. So those are really math-based. But when it comes to, like, one thing we can do is generate testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by understanding the position that your organization would have on this thing. And so we're able to predict what your stance would be and whether you want to support, oppose, or comment. And the AI, we use good models. So we're not running into tons of hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Because it has this data set that it's able to pull from, it is able to provide more accurate information. And then we also run checks. So, you know, you've heard of, or you use reasoning models. And so reasoning models, it's a couple of AI models working together to, you know, see where the progress is and maybe check each other once in a while. So we perform those checks manually. And you can typically weed out those kinds of hallucinations
mm-hmm.
with the simple verification process.
So Seichi, you know, in terms of Civic Nexus, and obviously you've talked to clients that are in the nonprofit business, in the policy business. So there's a need. It's addressing, you know, a problem that's out there. At what stage is Civic Nexus in terms of launch? Is it already out there? Is it right about to be launched? Where are you in rolling this out?
Yeah, we're about to launch in a matter of days.
So if it's just a matter of days, what is it that you're kind of like revving up or preparing so that you can get to the official launch?
Yeah, we're trying to build a really solid core set of features. My partner, Pierce, was a product leader at companies like PitchBook and Tableau for 10 years. He's really good at developing a product and making sure that frivolous things are not being added in. Like, we want the users to have a good experience, and we want to do a couple of things really well to start out. So that's what we're focusing on for our launch. And then we'll go and we'll build in these more advanced features that help you do a ton of things. But for right now, we're keeping it simple. And we want to build a product that people enjoy using.
And in terms of your launch, I mean, who's your market? Are you focusing your market on Hawaii sort of policy wonks, or are you opening this up to anybody across the country?
To start out, we're focused on Hawaii State Legislature and the county councils of Honolulu, Hawaii, Kauai, and Maui.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we are, our customers are any government relations or government affairs employees that are tracking bills. So that can be nonprofits, lobbyists, GR teams at private companies, state agencies, schools, hospitals. And even legislators, they have office staff who need to track bills. And we're starting in Hawaii, and by next year we will have expanded to a select number of other states.
And in terms of rolling this out to Hawaii, how do you foresee getting it in front of those customers or potential customers that you just mentioned?
By going on the radio a bunch of times and talking about what we do.
Okay, well, this is a good start. Now, with that, what can you describe what your business model is going to be? I mean, is it a subscription model?
Yeah, so because the session is 6 months in Hawaii, you're paying by year. It's an annual subscription. But, you know, it's software, so you can start and cancel it anytime. We have different tiers depending on the number of topics we need to track and the users. And we're set at a pretty competitive market price.
Have you encountered other applications like this that you might be competing against?
Yeah, there are two categories of competitors. It's the incumbent bill trackers, and then it's the AI bill trackers. And I heard from one of our partners that we've been talking to that when the bills are introduced at the beginning of the session, mm-hmm. they add all 3,200 bills manually to their tracker, and mm-hmm. it takes them an entire weekend. That's like 20 hours, and they're an expert. Mm-hmm. So for the average person, this might take a full week of time. So we think that we have a leg up on the non-AI bill trackers.
Mm-hmm.
And even compared to, our system can do all of that instantly, is what I'm saying. So compared to the other AI bill trackers, we think we still have a leg up due to the way we're doing the auto ranking, which we're not seeing anyone else doing.
What did you call it? Auto ranking?
Ranking, yeah. So ranking all of the bills by relevance to the topic that you're searching.
I see. So you're actually able to, so to speak, scrape capital.hawaii.gov and then get all the bills that are being loaded up onto the system and then rank them based on your client's sort of key priorities.
Exactly. Yeah. And we offer things like AI testimony generation, version redlining. We'll have things like testimony analysis and sentiment analysis and things like that.
So Seishi, we only got about a minute left, but are you planning to, go into any of the accelerator sort of like a blue startups? I mean, what's your plan in the near future?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Something I talk to Pierce about a lot. We're bootstrapping as long as we can. And, we're looking at raising a seed round next year, possibly. But if the right accelerator comes along, then and it's a good fit, then we're open to that as well.
Well, that sounds exciting. And I definitely want to give you a chance to let everybody know, where can they go find out about Civic Nexus and perhaps be your, first customer?
Yeah, so you can go to civicnexus.com and fill out the contact us form, and you'll hear from me back as soon as you do that.
Very, very good. I'll probably be the first one to put in a request like that. Seishi Nagai, he's the founder and CEO of Civic Nexus, and it's an application that enables nonprofits and public sector with smarter policy tracking. I think everybody needs that. And Seishi, I want to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll learn about how blockchain can be used to reduce carbon. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.